As you look out into the night sky, if you have a clear sky tonight after the program, realize nothing that you see out there in space is as old as you. Folded up inside of you is the information of the universe, the perspective, the challenge, the wonder of being alive on this earth at this time is a privilege beyond privileges. Energies, principalities, powers looking upon you as the lucky one. No matter what your challenge, no matter what your weakness, no matter your life condition, you have the power to love. You have the power to change. You have the power to create. This is the infamous third hour of X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. My guest tonight, Rabbi Yossi Sebriansky. His friends and the listeners of this program call him Rabbi Yossi. And his website is revealingthesoul.com. I recommend you go there. Check out the letters that he has written. Each Friday he adds more written content to his website. There are archives there. You can read them, learn the perspectives and interpretations and, I think, revelations on this ancient text that somehow either got glazed over or erased and replaced. Might open your mind. It might be the trigger that causes that ascension, that realization that you are who you are. And it is a great treasure, and you are perfect in that you are. And you should not judge yourself harshly. The other thing is that I want you to be aware that you can participate in this program. If you're sitting out there listening and wondering and have a question, you can participate. The phone line is 415-762-1161, 415-762-1161. As you feel this awakening, or you feel these moments of deja vu, you feel these downloads of pure information coming into your mind, knowing not what to do with it or where it comes from, listen up this hour, because we're about to crack it all open. We'll be back in 40 seconds. X Squared Radio is about to take off. We'll be back.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
Okay, here we go. Third hour, X Squared Radio. Welcome back to the program, Rabbi Yossi.
Pleasure being here with you.
You know, I like being a student of ancient texts. I'm no expert. I know there are a lot of people who are not, along with me. But we're curious about it. We don't want to seem like dummies, but we do want to open our minds and open the perspective and maybe not be so prejudging as we accept or reject various traditions. We'll call them religions of the earth. In the old times, the really great observers, the ones that could grasp this information and put it into words and somehow record it and have it survive the ages, we now call prophets. Today, we might call those same individuals rabbis. We might call them scientists. We might call them explorers. How do we move forward with the next phase of humanity?
That is definitely an interesting question. There are two parts to that. How do we move forward with ourselves, and how do we move forward in humanity? There are people who want to change all of humanity, and that doesn't happen too often. it's a challenge changing oneself. And if a person spent all their life fixing themselves and working on themselves, they spend their whole life doing it. There's no time for anything else because we're always changing and you always have to balance. So there are different perspectives and different processes, if you wish, or different visions that different people have on what will be and how things will be. And while they're all interesting, they all reflect something about the people who are saying them and believing them or having the visions, because all those visions have their own limitations and their own issues. And when I was a child, my grandfather taught me many things. And one of the things he said to me, he said, Yossi, you don't understand something unless you know its limitations.
Ah. Well, how do you test the limitations?
Well, the limitations are the following. We live in the present. So when people tell us about what's going to be, they're telling us a possibility. When someone says, 100% for sure, this is what's going to be, or this is what is, in a certain sense, they're a liar. Because if they said, I am sure of this possibility, yeah, they can feel for sure about a possibility, but to say for sure it's going to be something is different, because things are always changing. So on this minute, it may appear that that's what's going to happen. The next minute, something, a different shift will occur, and it won't happen that way.
Yeah, well, physicists know this pretty well. And the listeners of this program can get glazed over sometimes with terminology.
So, but when we look at what could be, what not, and where things are from a perspective of everyone becoming reconnected again and at one, having their own connection directly with the Creator and creation. Because each person is a unique expression, and each person has a unique connection. And when everyone does that, we won't need leaders. We won't need to have a king. We won't need to have leaders. Everyone will know exactly what they need to do as a unique being in creation. And everyone will understand this, respect it in themselves and of everyone else. And so the world will then transform to be a tranquil place with nature, all other dimensions, and humans all living together as one.
Well, I understand.
And unique self and different, because that's what they're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be all exactly the same.
Right, right. I mean, if you asked someone how many realities are there on the Earth, we'd have to say, well, there are pretty close to 7 billion of them, because everybody has their own perspective of what reality is. So Earth is kind of a mathematical average of realities of all the people that are on it. And, you know, if you have like souls thinking the same way, then maybe you have a little more weight toward one reality or another. But the truth is that from a quantum perspective, we are just talking about possibilities. We're talking about probabilities and possibilities and the reality, the realization that we, in some sense, are all creators of that reality.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, we're given an eschatological record that we are going to march down this pathway to Armageddon, blow the heck out of each other, and some savior is going to pop out of the sky, split a mountain in two, and save all the righteous, and the rest of you, well, you're going to burn as stubble. We have the ability to walk away from that, do we not?
Definitely, we do.
So if we can awaken enough humans, enough sentient beings on this planet, and get them to realize that they are, whether they like it or not, creating this reality, and get them to observe it as a possibility of this vision of peace that you have, that we are all living in harmony with nature and with one another. Is it not a possibility?
Well, in looking at people, looking at history, thousands of years of history, and how people act and react and take advantage of others and hurt and do different things, it made me wonder, is it possible? It made me look at it, you know, as long as people continue, there've been good people, bad people, different shifts in consciousness at different times in different countries, and there've been societies that were very peaceful and lived in harmony and wonderful, and what happened to them? And so, you know, as much as we do, that's great. And we can only do what we're able to do is teach people about harmony and teach people how it should be. But it still needs something beyond who we are as well. There still needs to be an acceptance of the force of all existence to accept that that's the way it wants the world to be. And I think by us doing it and by having a huge group of people creating that consciousness, that brings the creator, the source of existence, to magnify itself into this place through the people doing it. We become conduits in bringing this shift. And it takes each individual, each unique individual human being together to do it.
Ah, all right. So we do this by finding a common language, or do we do this through force of will or an outstretched hand?
We do it by all commonly being decent people, by coming with a heart, by feeling a heart, allowing our hearts to be open, and be heart people with comprehension as well. And when we're heart people, we share, we give. But society has become so hurt from everything. People have created these walls and do not want to change the walls because they don't want to get hurt again. So it is complex.
Well, maybe we can do it in small groups, and then we can bring the groups together. Because when I turn on the news, I see the world's leaders.
In Adam and Eve.
I'm sorry, I was talking over you. Say that again.
What?
I was talking over you. Go ahead and say that again. I'm sorry.
Are you talking over me? That's fine. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, it says people talk about the sin of Adam and Eve. Now, the Hebrew word is chet. Now, they translate that as sin. Actually, in Hebrew, there are other words for sin. Ava in Pesha. The word chet actually has another meaning. It means off-center. Imbalance. When you shoot at a target and you miss the center, that's chet. Off-center. So, basically, what it's telling us is Adam and everything was balanced. Adam and Eve did something that created an imbalance. And because all existence resonated in one frequency, it brought an imbalance throughout creation, throughout existence. And since then, everything has had this imbalance.
Ah. So the resonation became like a dissonant chord.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how do we bring this into harmony again?
So, based on that everything is of one essence, it would take one human being to reconnect to that same space of resonance that was before all this happened. And when one human being can reconnect with that space, it would automatically cause that all existence would become rebalanced.
So is this going to take a single voice, a leader, to stand up and do this? Or is this going to be a spontaneous combustion kind of thing, sort of like when helium freezes, it does so a few particles at a time, and then it suddenly occurs?
The individual who does it, the moment that individual does it, the individual will become irrelevant because everything will be restored.
I got
it. So it doesn't really matter who it is or what it is. It just matters that it happens.
I agree with that. That takes the ego out of it. I think that that might
absolutely
work. I look at the world's leaders today, so-called leaders, or leaders as they suppose, and you listen to the words coming out of their mouth and you look at their actions. And at least in my opinion, and I'm probably not alone in this, it doesn't appear to be the kind of leadership that's going to make this happen. Something else has to occur.
I totally concur with that.
And I don't think the kind of leader that we're looking for or that we're talking about here is one that is going to be elected. Do you?
No, I don't think he needs to be elected or she needs to be elected. No.
You know, I just have a feeling that there's a good possibility that this individual or these individuals are on the earth as we speak.
They are.
And can you share more with us?
Well, when we elect a leader, the election of the leader is normally according to what the people are. And so it's sort of, you know, either they have to do what the people want, or it's a reflection of the issues of the people. There, it's not a pure place. A pure place takes pure people. Now, there are a lot of people on Earth that are actually pure in many ways. But each one of us is unique, each one of us is different, and each one holds a resonance of our own. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, my wife caused me, although I was born, I grew up in Australia, I came to the United States, and my wife caused me to, at some point, be in New York. And I didn't want to be in New York at that time, but I was there, and I was stuck there. And I asked internally, what am I doing here? And the answer I got is that at that point in time, or at this point in time when I got the answer, the place needs the resonance of my soul energy, of my being. So I don't have to achieve anything or do anything, even know why I'm there. I just have to be there. And I was there for a number of years until I didn't have to be there anymore. And I found that fascinating. That I don't have to know why I'm here even. I just have to be. I don't have to do anything. In society, there's a lot, you know, you have to, what are you doing? What are you, you know, people want to know what work you're doing or what, you have to be doing something. And here, I didn't have to be doing anything. I just had to be. And I feel that's a more real place.
I really resonate with that.
That, I think it would, a whole group of people like that would make a major shift in the whole Earth's energy.
I really resonate with that. Just the presence of a being without doing anything. You just are in a state of frequency. The presence of that being in that environment shifted the energy of that environment just enough to perhaps affect the universe.
Correct.
So maybe what we're talking about, as the Kogi Mamas would say, are individuals who have become points of light or sources of light upon the earth. And just their mere presence in Phoenix, Arizona, or Los Angeles, or New York, or London, or Cairo is enough. Sort of like when Lot was present in Sodom, they couldn't destroy it.
Right.
So he had to leave. And then it could fall to its final low frequency of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is really, really good stuff. When you say that, when you agree with me that there's a possibility that the individuals who could be catalysts to allow this reaction to take place, I'm going to talk of it in chemical terms perhaps, this coagulation, this changing of reactants or raw materials of humanity into product or a new crystal kind of resonance on this planet. If they do exist, are they just now born, or are they youth, or are they already knowledgeable of their magnificence and their purpose here on this world?
I would say there are souls that have very high or very specific frequencies, and that the individuals themselves may know that they're different, but don't necessarily know why or what it is.
Right. And maybe one day they'll just wake up or come out of meditation or realize that the sun is in the right place at the right angle with the right trees behind it and say, hey, I know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Wow, really fascinating stuff. I like it. So from an anthropological point of view, this development of the human race, this metamorphosis, this evolution of the race, it could happen any moment, couldn't it?
Correct.
Hmm. One of my listeners writes in and says, if history is a lesson, when someone gets close to balance, those who are imbalanced rub them out.
Yes, that is. That whoever wrote that in is very astute, and that is quite correct. That's what happens throughout history.
Well, hopefully we've learned enough from history that and I have to agree, by the way, his name is Alex, and he's in Salt Lake City, Utah. I have to agree, in history, what has happened when these enlightened ones realize their mission is they grab their walking stick and their best sandals, and they walk into the city, and they make an announcement that they've had an epiphany they want to share with everyone. And immediately the Romans or the guards or whoever are assembled, and he's right. They're rubbed out. But today, in today's society, you could actually make this announcement without walking into the city. You could make it with this neural net instantaneously around the world through Facebook, through Skype, through Yahoo, through a myriad of methods, and you could survive. You could even put YouTubes out there and teach people of the depth and glory of these ancient languages from the comfort of your own white couch in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a very interesting time, Rabbi.
We sure do.
And the possibilities are being laid before us like never before at a rate of change that we have never seen before. Do you think the rate is changing? Do you think we're accelerating or quickening?
Well, I have wondered about that, because people do talk about everything happening faster and quicker. And I'm not sure anything's happening faster or quicker. I just think we're resonating at a different frequency. Because for some people, everything seems to be slow, and it's slower than ever. For others, it seems to be faster. It's really where our awareness is at.
Hmm.
And as our awareness becomes more expansive, things happen faster, but some things don't happen fast enough.
Oh, I'll say. I find myself patting my foot in front of the microwave. I guess my skin is tingling. My imagination is inspired. That even from a point of observation from that a scientist might make of the Earth, I look back a couple of weeks ago. Chile had an earthquake of 8.8 on the Richter scale. Certainly, one of the largest quakes in modern times. But the interesting results of this quake is that the Earth moved 3 degrees, not 3 degrees, 3 inches on its axis, and the days are now 1.3 seconds shorter. That happened in one day. This is a change that if we were to look at it from a geological record, looking at rocks or volcanic eruptions and how igneous rock shows a vignette of magnetism over eons of time, we would say that it took 1,000 years for the Earth to move this 3 inches. But it did it in one day. Maybe these kinds of activities happen much, much faster than what we have been taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why, in a religious perspective, when they talk about creation and things happening, they go into a 6,000-year thing, because while we relate to time as over billions of years, the possibility of those billions of years happening within a short period of time is also very possible. And so that's why some people just say, let's accept it, 6,000 years, and leave it there.
Yeah, let's just limit it to 6,000 years, and that's the end of that.
That's right.
Well, when the scriptures, and I don't know if the Old Testament talks about this so much as the New Testament, it mentions a term called the quickening, when things do happen at a more rapid pace, like going from horseback to the moon in 140 years or something like that. Is this what they're talking about, this ability to assimilate and bring into reality these higher frequency concepts of creation?
I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but when we do bring higher frequencies of concept, it does change time and space as we know it, because we then live in a different consciousness.
Right. The frequency rises, the consciousness becomes more aware, and then it becomes self-feeding, and just as resonance. I'm trying to explain this in very quick terms. It's sort of like playing tetherball. When the ball comes around, you strike it at exactly the right moment, and the ball goes faster and faster with more and more energy. But you're really not hitting any harder than you did the first time. What we're doing, actually, is we're beginning to resonate with the universe, and the universe is beginning to feed back that energy to us and create momentum toward this metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You mentioned earlier in this hour that we actually have never been separated from the Creator, from Source. Yet we...
Right.
I could tell you, I know people who really feel like they're separated from this power, from this origin. They feel lonely. They feel disconnected. How did that happen?
When Adam and Eve in the story created imbalance, what the imbalance brought with it was a resonance of something's not right. And that something not being right was something that Adam and Eve couldn't comprehend. They had no way of relating to it. And so within all our existence, we feel, as much as we know, we feel that something is not balanced. There's always this feeling that there's something else, something more, something not balanced. we're lonely. It all is generated by that idea of the when the imbalance was put into creation, and only when that's restored does everyone realize we were actually always in a place all the time.
Well, is it up to us to put the plug back in the receptacle in the wall so that we get the power, or is it? It isn't actually removed from us, is it? You know, someone once told me.
It's up to us to understand and be aware that it's only our perception, our feeling, but it's not what actually exists.
Right. Someone told me once, if you feel further away from God today than yesterday, who moved?
Right.
So if we're all connected to Source,
mm-hmm.
and the planets and all the minerals that make up the planets, that feed the plants, that feed the animals, that feed us, that make up our physical bodies, if all of this is connected to Source, then we really can't be separated. We may feel separated, but if we really understand that enjoyment, I guess that's the wrong word. That would be a legal term. If we understand that link, that inability for those things to be separated one from another, then we should be able, as individuals, to link to one another and increase that life force exponentially to have this metamorphing force really become overwhelming on this planet. No army could stop it. No politics could obfuscate it. It would just happen on its own, like a popular song on the radio.
I totally agree with you. That's correct.
Wow. Very good stuff. We have about 6 minutes left. Is there anything that you've heard today, either from the callers or from me or from your own thoughts, that you want to add to tonight's interview? We've touched on a lot of deep subjects, and people are going to go away from this, and they're going to play it back. People will sit, come into work tomorrow, put on their headphones, and listen to this archive, and say to themselves, I'm going to revealingthesoul.com. I want to learn more about this. What could you add in the next 5 minutes that could help us have hope in humanity?
When a person has hope in themselves, then there's hope for humanity. When a person loses hope in themselves, they lose hope for humanity too, because we're all part of one essence. So if you want to fix the world, the only thing you have to do is fix yourself. And there's an old saying, an old Jewish saying, that God created the world perfect, everything the way it has to be. And the only thing that he gave me to fix is myself. And that's all I can do, and it's a full-time job.
Well, it's a full-time job for some. Some treat it as a part-time job, and some people are just flat out on vacation.
Absolutely.
I mean, I see a lot of people asleep at the wheel. I'm sorry. I see people that are not conscious that they're conscious.
Well, we're talking to live people. There are a lot of people that are walking around that are actually dead. They're just walking around. So we're talking to the people that are alive.
Hmm. How do you reach those people? How do you get them to realize that they're not alive just because they're moving around and breathing and stuff?
I just do what I do, and I say what I say, and I don't have expectations of anyone or anything. And those that are ready for it, shift them, and then they shift and feel it, and they do what they need to do, and those who don't, don't. I didn't create the world, so it's not my responsibility. I'm responsible for myself and what I do, and that's as much as I can do.
Well, I understand. I didn't create the world either, but I created my perspective of it. So I'm trying to keep
my that's what we work on and change and shift.
Right. I want to keep my perspective of it as close to chocolate ice cream as I can. Kevin writes in and says, also add one act of random kindness a day. This really changes things.
Well, with every, I hear that all the time, and I think that's always a good thing. But with every act of kindness that someone's doing an act of not kindness. So while I've heard for centuries about more good and it tips the scale, I think you have to also understand the energetics of it and the energies. And it's not just doing good or doing the other way. There are a lot of different intricate energies. So one good thing every day, but it's better to be good, to be a balanced person all the time, but that's even a more powerful force. When I was a child, I grew up in a religious family, and I was taught that being a decent person comes before religion. The first thing is being decent. And if people were just decent people, they would do all the good they need to do.
Sure. Yeah, you would do what is right because it is the right thing to do. Kind of the difference between leaders and managers. A manager does things right, kind of like religion. But a leader does the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating stuff. My guest tonight has been Rabbi Yossi Sebriansky. His website is revealingthesoul.com. The link is at X Squared Radio. This interview will be uploaded in a couple of hours and will be available at xsquaredradio.com. And because we have had a prior discussion offline, I am going to make the link to tonight's interview available to Rabbi Yossi's listeners, his regular people, and I will send him the link. So if you want, don't want to have to pay for the archive, listen to X Squared Radio archives, you can contact Rabbi Yossi, and he will tell you how to get a hold of this archive, and you can listen to this 3-hour broadcast between he and I. At your leisure. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes, it is.
All right. I really appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you so much. Again, 3 hours goes by in about 45 minutes. Your insight and your interpretation has been most valuable and appreciated.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and good night.
Good night.
Well, there you have it, Earth Explorers, March 14, 2010, broadcast of X Squared Radio. Many of you are aware that we have had an opportunity to syndicate X Squared Radio. We are moving forward with that. As last week we ran a short survey, many of you emailed me. I appreciate it. It was unanimous. We're going to move forward with it. So 30-minute segments or new 30-minute programs will be created and sent out for approximately 30 weeks. During that 30 weeks, will be considered for syndication, and we will move onward, outward into the world with broadcast radio. And we appreciate you. We would not be here without you. If you're subscription to the archives has expired, you might want to take the time to go back in and sign up. It's only $20 a year, less than the cost of a cup of coffee per month. That way, if you miss a program or you're doing something Sunday night, going to the movies, you don't have to worry about it. You can go back into the archives and listen. And please, spread the word. Tell a friend. More people that sign up with the archives, the easier it is for to take care of our wonderful producer, Dawn, out in Paradise, California. Thank you so much. This is X Squared Radio. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening.
tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.